The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition of the podcast. Or I say Wednesday's racing, what's left of it anyway. We have an inspection on Tuesday afternoon to decide whether Leicester goes ahead, but we will have racing at Kempton, so at least there's one meeting to look forward to for definite. You'll hear all of the action on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Bobb and Stephen Powell in the studio. But right now, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Better than the weather, I presume.
Yes, nature's having its say. We are in the middle of winter, so I suppose it's only to be expected. At least it's coming down in as wet stuff rather than white stuff.
Yes. Thankfully we've avoided the snow so far, although the weatherman tells me that we're going to get some snow later on in the week, apparently, which would make things more tricky. But like you say, it's the wet stuff that's the problem at the moment. Several meetings abandoned. We've already lost Ludlow and Newcastle on Wednesday. Leicester's doubtful or under scrutiny because of the weather as well, and we may end up with just an evening fixture on Wednesday.
Yes, dear me. Yeah, Kempton have a 4:50 start. We'll have a look at a few races on that card in a few moments' time.
Yes, we'll move on to that later on, but as always, we'll start with a few news stories, and we'll start with the news surrounding Nicky Henderson's stable. He's played down talks of possible health problems in the yard. He says his stable stars are still fine, but when something like this happens, Mick, it's a cause for concern, isn't it?
Yeah, we always get these sort of pre-Cheltenham scares, don't we, of one sort or another. Didn't look much wrong with the Henderson horses who won at Doncaster at the weekend.
No.
Not surprisingly, he hasn't put my 10 to yours in at Sandown this weekend. It's going to be a bog there if it does take place, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. As long as they're right on the day, and Mr. Henderson has a knack of getting them there spot on, doesn't he? So I just think it's probably a bit of a storm in a teacup, Mark.
Okay, so nothing to worry about just yet?
I would have thought not.
Okay. Away from the jump stuff, unless there's anything else that's caught your eye, Mick, just in terms of news, Wolverhampton's Polytrack is going to be relayed. Well, replaced. They're gonna shut down at the end of April to start work there, and it is needed, isn't it? The Wolverhampton surface isn't the best at the moment.
Yeah, just wonder which one they'll go with. I wonder if they'll try the Tapita, which does look a horse-friendly surface to me, doesn't it? We'll see of it in Dubai, and I know it's very popular with the jocks, and the trainers will run horses out on it out there. So. You know, if the Tapita team get a good lobby on, who knows? We might have a Tapita surface in the UK.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting way to go, wouldn't it? Like I say, it works quite well in Maidan, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens there. Other things to talk about, let's have a look at our reflection on some of the weekend action now the dust settled a little bit. Starting with the World Hurdle, Mick, Big Bucks. On the drift, he was 6-4 before the race, went out to 7-4 after the Cleve hurdle, and currently available at 2-1.
Well, nothing's happened to alter my outlook on the race. I think Sam Twiston Davis was under strict instructions to get his competitive juices flowing. Don't forget, he'd, going into Cheltenham previous years, he's had a couple of runs under his belt.
Yep.
Hadn't been seen before the Cleve hurdle since his last World Hurdle win. He'd had 2 months stood in his box recovering from his tendon injury, and they basically, he's getting older and probably a bit lazier, like we all are, Mark. And I think they felt that at Ditcheat, and I think Sam's orders will get his competitive juices flowing, and I thought it was a very satisfactory run after what had befallen him in the interim. And you see him in the in unsettling enclosure. He was blowing the house down, which normally he wouldn't blow a candle out. Bags of improvement to come from him, and he's still the one to beat.
Yeah, it's a perfectly satisfactory return, wasn't it? Apart from the fact they didn't win. I mean, everything else is right with the return. And I would be inclined to go for Big Bucks at 2-1 still.
Absolutely.
I mean, when he went out to 5-6 in the 2012 World Hurdle, I got excited then. So 2-1.
If he'd lobbed round at the back and just sort of raced for the last 2.5-3 furlongs, what good would that have done him?
Well, yeah, exactly.
He can do more at home. They had to get him competitive. They had to get his racing head back on after all that time away from the track. And it's worked.
Yeah. Okay, then. So Big Bucks 2-1 for the World Hurdle. And that could be a bit of value come March. The Champion Hurdle picture, Mick. That was under the spotlight, shall we say, on Sunday. A great renewal of the Irish Champion Hurdle. And
it was and it wasn't, Mark. It was unsatisfactory for me in a number of... I think I'm not blaming AP because I think his tactics were made up for him because Jeske was so buzzed up, wasn't he?
Yeah, very keen early on.
I don't think he'd have ridden him like that if he hadn't been so keen early on. But why on earth didn't Danny Mullins, after that first hurdle down the back, go and eyeball a Hurricane Fly, get up on his outside, just tighten him up a bit on the fence, trying just going into that middle hurdle down the back, just maybe try and get him wrong at it and just whisper in Ruby's ear, how's his foot? You know, just get competitive. But they treated him with so much respect. It's ridiculous. They're out there to win a race, not to make it easy for Hurricane Fly. I know AP couldn't do much about it because his horse was too buzzy, but I'm sure if Jeske had been settled, that's what AP would have done. He'd have gone and got Hurricane Fly, try to get him at it, try to get him to make a mistake, get him out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
They didn't even try it. And Ruby, I must have been laughing his cap off there going round on Hurricane Fly, the way they just left him alone. Okay, they came and challenged him at the last. But if they'd taken the sting out of him down the back, he wouldn't have been to re-rally as he did.
No.
It was a brilliant ride from Walsh to just kid them into whatever they were thinking about. And they weren't thinking... Well, Danny Mullins certainly wasn't for me. He should have been more competitive on Arconna and not died wondering, you know, if I'd done this, if I'd done that. Waiting to outspeed him at the last, where he's never even got Ruby off the bridle till 100 yards off the last, was a risky strategy for me. And if he'd just made it a little bit more competitive at halfway, we might have seen a different story. There might not have been as much between them. Hurricane Fly might have probably won anyway, probably would have done. But
you just don't know.
Why die wondering?
Yeah.
Why it makes life so easy for him?
That's the thing, yeah. Is it out of respect, do you think? Too much respect for him?
Too much respect. Yeah. It's like we hear it in the football parlance. Don't they? We treated him with too much respect. Mm. And they did that with Hurricane Fly. Nobody even tried to get him out of his comfort zone. And I just can't understand that at all.
Okay. With regards to the festival, then, Mick, if our Connor is ridden a little bit more aggressively... And Jeske, obviously with a championship pace, he's going to settle better, probably. Do you think it could be closer again?
Well, I think it could. I mean, we saw how O'Connor was ridden in the Triumph Hurdle. He absolutely demolished him from the top of the hill, didn't he?
Yeah, did you?
So, why is he suddenly now a speed merchant, huh?
Yeah, it's fair enough, yeah. Yeah, that's the only problem, isn't it? We just don't know. If he had gone and eyeballed him, it could have been...
I just wonder how Brian Cooper would have ridden him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he'd have... given Hurricane Fly the respect he got there, made so much life. It made life so much easier for Ruby. And I just couldn't believe it. Well, I was watching it. I was urging him, watching the race live. I was working on Sunday. I said, get up beside him, eyeball him. Yeah. Make life difficult for him. But they didn't. They just sat off him. I just can't understand it. I wasn't a very nice person to ride against. And but you know, I had been thinking everything in the book to get him at it, get him, make him feel his poorly foot. But they didn't.
At least just ask him the question.
Just ask him the question. Are you okay? Is his foot all right, Ruby? Yeah. Let's find out.
Anyway, the betting looks like this. 3-1 joint favourites, Hurricane Fly, and the new one. 4-1 for My Tent Are Yours. Our Connor, 6-1. 7-1 for Annie Power. 10s for Jeske. And 12-1 for Undersu. And then 25-1 on bigger prices, the rest.
Yeah, I think Jeske's run is best forgotten, isn't it? AP just couldn't ride a race on him. He was basically trying to settle him all the time. I don't know what fizzed him up. He's not normally like that, is he? But he was certainly buzzed up for Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's one disappointment out of the race. Next time you talk to him,
ask him.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay.
So if Jeske had settled, would you have gone and made life tough for Hurricane Fly down the back, or would you have just left him in his comfort zone?
Well, I think I know what the answer would have been. Yeah. Anyway, who do you think wins it at the moment, Mick? Who would you be with?
Tough call, isn't it? Mm. Oh, dear me, I don't know, Mark. I mean, it's going to be as wide open a champion hurdle as we've seen for a long time, which is great. I love to see the challengers coming along. I love Arcona. I just, five-year-olds have to be very, very good to win it. I think we've seen one five-year-old in the last 20 years or something, or is it 15 or something? But
it's a while, yeah.
Was it Catch It? Was it?
Yeah.
He was the last five-year-old, wasn't he? On the phone books, it says Hurricane Fly is still the one to beat. The Pretenders are the new one, and My Tent Are Yours, and Hurricane Fly, even Jezky, Annie Power, if she turns up. Fascinating race. I think I'll sit on the fence for it longer, Mark.
Okay. Right. Well, that's about all we've got time for with regards to the weekend and the news. Let's concentrate on Wednesday then, Mick. Kempton is where we'll go because we should at least see racing there. And the first race you've picked out is the 520, which is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a quarter. And where do you want to start in this one, Mick?
Yeah, well, I've looked at the quality races, Mark. We're just a bit short on runners, but goodness me, when I got into them, they really are fascinating races. We'll go through them in race card order. In the 520, the top weight is Apache Glory, Luke Morris riding for John Stimson. She had a purple patch last year, this mare, around March, April time. I think the first win came in March, the other two in April. She rattled up a hat-trick, and that saw Mark rise from 59 to 70. She now has to race off a mark of 74. That's after going down by short head at Lingfield last time. Went up another two or three for that. But she has gone close in the 70s and three times. So the mark may not be on her, and I wouldn't put anybody off backing her, because that was a definite return to form last time.
Yeah.
And as we know, it's coming to her time of year.
And she gets on well with Luke Morris as well.
She does.
Yeah.
She's a player. Serenity Spa is another filly who I do like. Used to be trained by Roger Charlton. Ran really well for a new trainer, Tony Carroll, after 137 days off, finishing a close fourth. And went very close on each of her starts here. Should relish the step up from a mile as well. That was a good run at Lingfield. Won over the extended mile at Windsor in June for Roger Charlton. And I think this step-up in trip is going to be ideal for her. With that run and about George Downing taking off the five, she's going to be the selection. The other one to consider is a filly I put up last time. She just found one too good. And that's Poitain, trained by Harry Dunlop, Tom Quealy, taking the ride, only found a rejuvenated and well handicapped Java Rose too good by three quarters of a length here over this course and distance last time. A reproduction off the same mark, we'll see her go close, and she's often been highly tried, this filly. She's had two goes in listed company, certainly deserves to win a handicap to add to her maiden and claim her wins, but might just have the misfortune to run into one here in the shape of Serenity Spa.
Okay, Serenity Spa then in the 520. The next race we'll look at is the 650. This is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. And Smoke That Thunders, Mick, arrives here on the back of a pretty decent effort last time. Over 7 furlongs, where he was beaten just half a length by Nassau Storm, who reopposes this afternoon. Do you see there being much between them, Mick?
Yeah, that was at Lingfield. After not the best of passages, I think got shuffled back in mid-race and got into an unpromising position and went into plenty of notebooks for that run. But on the debit side, they have found a very competitive little heat here. Mm. Again, we'll go through them in race card order, Mark. The top weight is Nassau Storm, who mark is back up into the high 80s with that penalty for the Lingfield win. Adam Kirby riding for William Knight, but went very close here when a close second to Belgian Bill off a mark of 89. So we know that this mark isn't beyond, and Belgian Bill was like sort of well handicapped in those days, so she ran into one that day, and she's run well all five starts here, so she can't be discounted in a quality race. Number two is Corporal Maddox, a horse I do like. Ron Harris trains. George Baker taking the ride. George Baker, good man on your side if the race is going to get tactical, and I think this well might. He's got plenty of decent form here at Kempton and off of this mark. And this, I think this is not beyond him, this 85. He's got a solid run from him in from the in-form rival TrinityLight.com suggests that his turn is very close. Fourth of that horse last time, and we know what sort of form he's in at the moment. And I'm going to give him the vote, Corporal Maddox. But there are others, Mark. You've mentioned Smoke That Thunders. Firm Decisions isn't out of this. Course and Distance winner still unexposed on Polytrack. Four runs, one win and 3 seconds. The March crept into the 80s, but very much on the up and very dangerous if allowed a soft lead. So there's another one to throw into the mix. And M. Cannett has won three of his all-weather races and was in second twice. Got a good record here in form. You know, plenty in with a shout here, Mark. I wouldn't even like to price it up, but I'm just hoping that Corporal Maddox can do the job for us under Baker.
Okay, Corporal Maddox then in the 650. The last race we're going to look at is the 820 at Kempton. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile, and whilst there's only six of them in the lineup, Mick, you could stay a case for most of these as well. There's a few in-form runners here.
Yeah, you couldn't really put a line through any of them. I think the market's going to revolve around Examiner. Mm. This is just a typical Haggis horse that's going to get overbet, isn't it? You can just see it, can't you?
Yeah.
They won't be able to get it on fast enough. He's on the upgrade and he's building a good all-weather profile. As I said, the problem from this yard is they often get overbet, and he is £5 higher for that Lingfield win. I think on the plus side for him, he did run well here on his racecourse debut, so it won't bother him going this way around. And, well, he's got to go on the short list. The one who might reward support is War of Art, trained by Tom Dascombe, Richard Kingscote taking the ride. Built on a promising debut on the 28th of December to land some tasty bets at Lingfield next time. The mark of 78... probably leaves no margin for error, but it'll be surprising if he doesn't continue to improve. He wears the hood and the tongue tie, which he did do on debut, which was a little bit concerning that he had that all those on debut, but certainly didn't stop him winning next time. I mean, didn't have him on debut, beg your pardon, when he won 11 days ago, and the tongue tie and the hood have been retained.
Yeah, he had the hood on debut and then the hood and the tongue tie on.
That's right, the tongue tie was added for the win, yeah. Jalingo, he's closely matched with the Examiner. He's £3 better off for not very far. Should get closer. And another one who should get closer is Truancy. The problem with Truancy is he went up £2 himself for that close third, what, three and a bit length. Mm-hmm. But instead of Robbie Winston running that day, they've gone for Joey Haynes to take off the five. So mathematically, he's not out of this, Truancy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's one or two angles there with that Examiner form, with the first, second and third all reopposing on various bits and pieces of revised terms. So I'm going to discard that race and go with War of Art and hope the hood and tongue tie work again.
Okay. War of Art then in the 8:20. Let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your three one more time.
Yeah, cracking little card at Kempton, I thought, especially in the class fours and class three, four and five. The 5:20, I get the vote, give the vote to Serenity Spa, just having a second start for Tony Carroll. Ran an excellent race after 137 days off on his first start for the stable. And I think could relish the step up from a mile to 10 furlongs. Corporal Maddox has done me a few good turns over the years, and that run last time suggested a big run was on the cards here. Ran into TrinityLight.com, who was in banging form, and a bit of improvement on that in a very good race. And he might go off at rewarding odds as well. And in the lucky last, I think the market's going to revolve around Examiner, with that race at Lingfield 18 days ago featuring the winner, the second and the third. I'm going to look beyond that race and go for the Tom Dascombe trained War of Art, only having his third career start, and could well make a mockery of that mark of 78 if he continues going the right way.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. There might not be much racing to look forward to on Wednesday, but it turns out it's quite competitive stuff.
Absolutely, Mark. It really is. I'm really looking forward to those three quality races on the card.
Okay, thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM. Sean Quinn, John Babb and Stephen Powell will be the team in the studio. Hopefully we'll have racing from Leicester in the afternoon, but there is an inspection at 3:45 PM on Tuesday, so we'll find out more then. And then we'll have the evening racing from Kempton. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.